Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Ayin Ches, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan teaches us Rabbi Yochanan, Chacham Sh'amar B'lashem Baal. As we have been learning, two different ways a neder is nullified. One is Hatarah, which is done by a Chacham, who annuls the nether, and the other is hafara, the power of a father under certain circumstances, of a husband under certain circumstances, to be made for to revoke the nether. Teaches us Rabbi Yochanan that chacham shamar b'lashem baal, if a chacham whose authority is to be matter the nether was made for the nether, or baal shamar b'lashem chacham, if the husband who has the ability to be made for the darim was matter and nether, in both of these cases, loya meklum, what they said is meaningless. If they use the wrong terminology, it's meaningless. And the reason is because hatara and hafara are fundamentally different. Hatara, as we have learned, is oikir hanedim yikaray. It knows the nether that it was as if it was never a nether. Hafara is only mikana lahaba. It works only into the future. On the other hand, hafara can be done bal karcha. We don't need the daughter or the wife's consent to do hafara. Hatara, obviously, we need the consent of the person who made the nether. Moreover, hafara doesn't need the initiation in any way of the person who made the nether. The father, the husband, just have the right to be made for the nether. Hatara requires that the person who made the nether request that it be annulled. And therefore, the Mishnah, the Rabbi Yochanan teaches us that these two concepts are two very distinct concepts, and one cannot be matter when he's supposed to be mefer, nor can it be mefer when he's supposed to be matter. The Tanya, as the Braisa says, the Pasuk says, Zeh HaDover. In the beginning of Parashas Matos, the Pasuk teaches us, V'yidab Moshe al Roshei HaMatos v'nei Yisrael leimo, Zeh HaDover asher tziva Hashem. Zadov to teach us Hachacham Matir Vein Baal Matir. Only the Chacham has the ability to be Matir Nedarim, not the husband. Shiyachol, one would think, Oma Chacham She'ei Mefer. If the Chacham who doesn't have the ability to be Mefer, Matir, does have the right to be Matir, Baal She'meifer, so a husband who has the right to be Mefer, Ein Adin She'matir. And as the Rosh explains, the intention of the Braisa is not really to learn Kal V'Chaymers, but the Gemara and the Braisa is trying to ask, if we see that a Chacham could be Matir, maybe it should teach us that a husband has the right to be Matir, and as we're going to learn in a moment, if the husband has the right to be Mefer, maybe that ought to teach us that the Chacham also has the right to be Mefer. However, there are other Rishonim that explained the Gemara's question in the following manner. At this point of the Braisa thought that Hafara is a stronger method of nullifying a nether than Hatara. And therefore the Braisa is asking, if the husband has the ability to do Hafara, shouldn't that prove that he certainly has the right to do Hatara? And that teaches us the Braisa, Tamaloyim, the Pasuk says, Zah Dover, that only Chacham Matir, only does the Chacham have the right to be Matir, V'ein Baal Matir, the husband doesn't have the right to be Matir. Tanya Idach, and again, following this explanation, now the Braisa considers that perhaps Hatara is a stronger method of nullifying a nether than Hafara. And therefore the Braisa will ask, if the Chacham has a right to do Hatara, certainly he should have the right to do Hafara. Tanya idach zadova baal mefer vein chacham mefer. Shiyach, we might think, ma baal she'ein matir. If the husband who doesn't have the right to do Hatara still has the right to do mefer, certainly chacham who has the right to do Hatara ain't a din shemefer that he should have the right to do hafara. Tamaloymer, again, the pasuk says zadova baal mefer. Only does the husband have the right to do hafara, v'ein baal Vein Chacham Mefer, but the Chacham does not have the right to do Hafara. The Braisa, the Gemara continues bringing a similar Braisa. Nemakan, the Torah regarding the Dinim of Hataras the Dharma, as we just read the Pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Matos, says Zahadovar. Nemala Halon, and the Torah uses the word Zahadovar b'shchutei chutz. The halacha is that Karbonos may only be offered in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, and the Azara. Bringing them outside of the Azara is a Chiyuv Karis. And the Torah, when it teaches us this din, uses the words Dabal Aaron Valbona Valkobne Yisrael Valmarta Aleim Zahadovar Ashetziva Hashem Leimer. So Torah connects Shchutei Chutz to Nedarim. And before we got into the Gemara Be'ezra Hashem, as we're going to learn the Gemara, by having this Kseirish Shava that connects Shchutei Chutz and the Nedarim, we're going to learn many important halachas, both for Shchutei Chutz and for Nedarim. The Satmar Rebbe asks, these are two very different subjects, Shchutei Chutz and Nedarim. And the Torah uses these two very different concepts and connects them. Says the Satmar Rebbe that these concepts are really very, very similar. What do Nedarim represent? As we learned in the previous shiur, the Nedarim represents a person, what the Torah says that something is mutter, and he goes and says that he's going to prohibit this permitted item on himself. He's going to do more than what the Torah requires of us. What does Shchutei Chutz represent? The same, he says. The Torah gives us very specific directions, how, where a carbon may be brought, and this person decides that he's going to expand and bring carbonus outside of the Azara. Teaches us the Torah by connecting these two concepts, that it is our obligation to do what the Torah tells us, not to do anything more, not to do anything less. And moreover, as we're going to learn in the shiur, the Torah gives this obligation. Who can make Nedarim? Who could teach us about what Nedarim represent? Rashi Hamatis. We have to follow Das Torah. Das Torah could tell us what does the Torah require of us and what does the Torah not require of us. We must be careful not to try to interpret and expand, or chas v'sham, worse, detract from what the Torah says. So the Gemara begins to analyze this Kseir Shavah between Shchutei Chutz and Nedarim. The parasha of Shchutei Chutz applies to everyone, and as the Rishonim explained, why would I think that it doesn't apply to everyone? Since the din of bringing a carbon, say the Rishonim, only apply to Kohanim, maybe we would suggest that the din of Shchutei Chutz only apply to Kohanim. And in fact, the Rishonim explained the reason why the din of Shchutei Chutz do apply to everyone is because the halach is Shchita Ksheir B'zor, that even Yisraelim may shecht kabonis that are kabonis, and therefore Shchutei Chutz applies to even Yisraelim. Af Kshashas Nedarim, so to the parasha of Nedarim, the parasha of nullifying a nether applies to Aaron Uvon of Chal Yisrael. Umakan, and just like we're saying regarding Hataras Nedarim, we read the pasuk that says Roshei Hamatos. It speaks to the heads of Klal Yisrael. Afla Halon Roshei Hamatos. So too regarding Shchutei Chutz, there's an element of the Roshei Hamatos which we'll discuss in the Gemara soon. So says the Gemara, Beparshas Nedarim L'may Halchasa. It was saying there's a Gzeir Shava connecting Nedarim to Shchutei Chutz. What does that Ksari Shava come to teach us? Says the Gemara, Amar of Achaba Yaakov, Lahachsha Shlosha Joitis. To teach us that three regular people could serve as the Bezdin to be Matar another. Ask the Gemara for Rashi Matas Ksif. Doesn't the pasuk explicitly use the words Rosh Yamatis, that Ataras Nadarim is in the purview of the Chachamim, not of Hayoytim? Answers the Gemara, Amr of Chizda, Vitaim Rabbi Yochanan, Biyachid Mumcha. When, and as the Ran explains, we have here sort of a contradiction. On one hand, the Torah uses the words Rosh Yamatis, that only Chachamim could be Matin Neder. On the other hand, we have the Gzeres Shava that indicates that everyone can be Matan Neder. How do we reconcile these two dinim? Says the Gemara, the way to reconcile it is that if a Yochid Mumcha is being Matan Neder, one individual is enough. If, on the other hand, we're not using a Mumcha, we need Shloisha, we need three people. The Torah Evan asks that the Gemara says in Masechta Chagiga, Heta Nedarim Parchin Ba'avir, that the Enlehem Amash Yismuchu, that there is no real source to teach us this concept that we've been discussing so many times about the ability of a Chacham to be Matar and Neder. Yet our Gemara teaches us that it's a Hekish and it's a Pasik, says the Torah Evan. Only after do we have the Mesaira, do we have a Kabbalah, that there is a concept of Heta Nedarim. Can we explain, do we then go on to say that that's what these psukim are talking about? But there is no pasuk that explicitly says the din of Heta Nedarim. So our Gemara says that if you either have a Yochid Mumcha or Shloisha Jaitis. So the Rishonim ask that, yes, we have to say that there's a difference between when a Yochid is, when a Mumcha is doing the Het and the Darim, or someone else is doing the Het and the Darim. But why do we say that here you need one and here you need three? Maybe when a Yochid is Matan Neder, you need one. And when you have more, when you have a Jaitis, two will be enough. So the Ran says that we follow the model of Bezdin. And since a Bezdin is three people, that's why we have three people to be Matar and Neder. The Rosh says the reason two people would not be acceptable is because we have a concept of Ein Beis Din Shokel. We can never use an even number of people in a Beis Din, because if there's a deadlock, and therefore two people are unacceptable because that's an even number, so we need three people. The Rabbeinu Avram and Ahar says that the Gzeres Shava that our Gemara is teaching us actually teaches us that we need three people, because the Gzeres Shava says, is based on the pasuk that says Aaron, Dabal Aaron vel Bonov al Kobnei Yisrael. So Aaron is one, Bonov is two, Abnei Yisrael is three. The Mefarshim point out that what is the nafkamina between these different pshotim that we just offered from the Rishonim? The nafkamina will be if four people could be matter another. If the reason is because of Dabar of Aaron, Val Bonav, Kobnei Yisrael, so the Torah is teaching us that the minimum amount of people that can be Matar and Neder are three people. But four people would also be acceptable. However, if the concern is for Ein Beis Din Shokel, so then four people would not be acceptable. Are there any qualifications required for Shloisha Hejaitis? So here we have a Machloikas Rishonim. The Ran says that the people who are Mat and Neder have to be people, the Masberle Vesover, people who are enough Tamid HaChachamim that if we explain to them Halacha, they will understand it. It can't just be anyone. The question to ask on the Ran, that the Ran himself asks, is that our Gemara is teaching us that Hajaitis are acceptable because we're learning it from Shchutei Chutz. By Shchutei Chutz, the Halacha is that anyone, any Jew may not do Shchutei Chutz. So if we're learning the halach of Shloisha Hedyoitis for Ataras Nedarim from Shchutei Chutz, shouldn't that teach us that anybody is qualified to be Matar and Neder? So the Ran gives two answers to this question. One answer that the Ran gives is that it makes only sense that people who are Matan Neder have to be such individuals who are Masber Levesover, enough of Talmid Chacham that understand something when they're told. Because otherwise, says Duran, how could they approach to be Matan Neder without any basic knowledge of the halacha. Another answer that the Ran gives to this question is that since we're learning from the generation of Moshe, from that's when the halacha was said that shrutei chutz, in the generation of Moshe, says the Ran, certainly everyone was in the category of Mizbrali v'Safar, and therefore the halacha, says the Ran, is that it has to be somebody who's Mizbrali v'Safar to sit on a bezdin that's meif in the dar. And in the Ran itself, in the Ran's opinion, there's a machloikis. What do these three people have to be? Who do these three people have to be? The Drisha says that one of the three people is not just enough that he should be Mizbele V'Sover, understand the halacha when it's taught to him, but he has to be such an individual, says the Drisha, who has a basic familiarity in Hilchis Nedarim. The Shach disagrees and says that even according to the Ran, they all just have to be Mizbele V'Sover. The Beis Yosef says that the Rambam holds that any three people can be Matir Neder, and there are no requirements of Mizbrele V'Safar. Regarding the Yochid Mumcha, who the Gemara says could be Matir Neder by himself, here too we have a Machlekes Rishonim. Who is that Yochid Mumcha? We'll discuss it more in Amid Beis, in Mirza Hashem. Some Rishonim say the Yochid Mumcha has to be somebody who's Somuch, somebody who has smicha from generation to generation, not the smicha that we have nowadays. Others say that a yochid mumcha is just a person who's a Talmud Chacham and well aware of the Hilchos Nedarim. If there's a requirement for samach, there is no one that has smicha nowadays, because there are two qualifications for the smicha. One qualification for the smicha is that a person had to have learned Kol HaTorah Kula. We don't have people who've learned Kol HaTorah Kula. And secondly, smicha means that the smicha is from generation to generation, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That chain has unfortunately been broken. It's interesting to note that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that there is no one, even if we follow the opinion of the Rambam, that we don't need a samach, there is no one nowadays who could qualify for the status of being a yochid mumcha. Although the Shulchan Aruch does paskin that in the times where there was a Yochid Mumcha, and one has an option if he wants to be Matan Neder, if he could go to Yochid Mumcha, or should go to Shlosh Adjoitis, says the Shulchan Aruch that one has to go to the Yochid Mumcha. To the degree that the Gilyam HaShoah and the Pesachei Tshuva seem to learn that if one had the option to go to a Yochid Mumcha and went to Shlosh Adjoitis, the Hatorah would be invalid. Only to say the Paiskim that if one went to the Yochid Mumcha and the Yochid Mumcha refused to work with the Neder, then and only then is the Halacha, say the Paiskim, one could go to Shloish Yajaitis. The Nidre's reason, the Sefer Nidre's reason, asks, Al Gemara said that we have, as we explained from the Ran, we have one, the Pasuk of Rashi Amatis, which seems to indicate that even an individual could be Matir Neder. And then we have the Pasuk that seems to indicate that you could have anyone. He says, why don't we make a difference between where a Neder is annulled through a Charota, or a Neder is annulled through a Pesach? And when it's annulled through charata, through regret, which doesn't really require, as we discussed at length in the previous year, great concentration, their halacha will be that shloisha adjoitis are qualified. On the other hand, where we use a Pesach, only a yochid mumcha is qualified to determine that this is a Pesach. So the Mincha Shlomer of Shlomer Zalman Orbach says that since the Torah always compares Charota to Pesach, the Gemara did not want to say that there's a difference between Charota and Pesach and how it actually is accomplished. Another teretz that he gives is that since Midoraisa, even when one is having his nether annulled through a Pesach, he's not required to to speak all the details of the nether. So we see that Midaraisa, Charota, and Pesach are very similar, and therefore the Gemara did not want to suggest that that's the way to reconcile these two different psukim. Continues the Gemara. Rashi Amatis b'shchutei chutz l'may hilchasa. Now that we have a gzeirah shava that connects nedarim to shchutei chutz, so it's as if it says Rashi Hamatis by shchutei chutz. What do I need Rashi Hamatis by shchutei chutz? Amra sheishes loy mashiyeh shelo behegdish. That the halach is that if somebody was magdish something, he has the right to be matted that nether. And as the Mefarshim explain, the Keren Ayur discusses, why would I think that you can't be matter a nether of Hegdish? It's just a form of a nether, like all other nedarim that we've been learning one can be matter. So one teretz that the Keren Ayur says is that since certain kabbonis, if a person doesn't have aveira, he has to bring a karban chatos, he has to bring a karban asham. These are a kabbonis that one is obligated to bring. So since there's an obligation to bring them, it's not just voluntary, one would say perhaps that they can, those hegdish cannot be annulled. That's why we need a pasuk to teach us that they can be annulled. The difficulty with that pshat, points out the Keren Ayura, is that that only speaks about kabbonis that one is obligated to bring. But what will be then regarding other hegdish that one is not obligated to bring? So the Keren Ayura says that since we find throughout Shas that hegdish is more stringent than all other, than many other subjects, that's why we would think that it's also more stringent than Ein Sheila B'Hegdish. And as the Sefer Birkas Avram explains, since there's a din of Amirasa L'Gvoya K'Misirasa L'Hegit, that as soon as we're magdish something, it already becomes the Hegdish's property, even if we didn't physically transfer it to Hegdish. So we would think that therefore the Halach is also Ein Sheila B'Hegdish. That's why the Gemara has to teach us that there is Sheila B'Hegdish. Another pshat is, as we've discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, that by Nidrei Hegdish, there are opinions that hold that even if one did not verbalize the nether, he just thought of the nether, it's already considered a nether. Again, a very serious chumrah that Hegdish has versus all other subjects. So that would make us perhaps think that ain't Sheila B'Hegdish. That's why the Torah has to teach us, Yesh Sheila B'Hegdish. So ask the Mefarshim, if there's a concept of Yesh Sheila B'Hegdish, how could there ever be Shchutei Chutz? Shchutei Chutz, we said before, somebody brings a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. If somebody's bringing a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, which is a terrible Aveira, he should just be shoyl on the Hegdish. It's not a carbon, and he didn't transgress Shchutei Chutz. And the Mefarshim go on to ask, if you think about it, when we learn in the Torah, we learn Mitzvah Shem, say the Kachim, we learn about Pigul, Noiser, Tomei, such very serious subjects, there's a way of averting all of these Averis. The carbon that became Pigul, or Noiser, or Tomei, one should be shoyl on it, and it's no longer going to be a carbon. So regarding that question, Tosfos in Masechta Makkos says that once Zrika was accomplished, you can't be shoyl on the nether. So if the Pigul, Noiser, Tomei are after Zrika, you can't be shoyl. But what about Shchutei Chutz? So some Mefarshim suggest that the only time one would be over the terrible aveir of Shchutei Chutz is if he brings someone else's carbon outside of the Azara. Since on that carbon he doesn't have the ability to be shoyl, it's not his, therefore there he would be over Shchutei Chutz. But if he ever brought his own carbon, since he always has the ability to be shoyl on that Hegdish, so even if he brings it outside the Azara, if we are going to warn him that he's doing an Aveira, it's always going to be Hasra Sofik, because he may be shoyl on the Hegdish, which will avert that it's no longer Hegdish, and therefore he would never be chayiv in Shchutei Chutz if he brings his own kachim Chutz L'Azara. Ask the Gemara, however, L'Beis Shammai Dome in Sheila B'Hegdish, according to Beis Shammai, that holds that Hegdish you can't be shoyl on. And the Mefarshim explain the reason why there is no place that Beis Shammai explicitly says this. However, since Beis Shammai holds that Hegdish B'Tos have a hegdish, that even if one made something hegdish by mistake, that hegdish is effective. So he holds, therefore you can't be shoyl on hegdish. Ask the Gemara, we're back to where we started. Rasha Matis, the ksib shchute chutz l'bay hilchus. So why do I need a pasuk to teach us? What would this gzeri shava that places the words of Rasha Matis that are said by Parash Sadarim into the parasha of shchute chutz? What does it come to teach us? Ask Rabbi Chanan. Why don't we answer according to Beis Shammai that yes, she'ela behegdish, hatorah by hegdish is not possible, but hafara, if a wife or a daughter make a neder that something should be hegdish, hafara should be possible. So the Rabbi Chanan answers that hafara and hatara are the same, ein hekish lechtzom, and if hatara is not possible, hafara is also not possible. Rav Shlomo Zalman says a very lumdish teretz. He says, as we said at the beginning of our shir, hafara works only mikana lahaba. Hafara does not have the ability to be oika neder mikara, to null the neder as if it never happened. So if someone was magdish an animal and then he was makrovit b'chutz, we can't rely on shela b'hegdish to take away that problem. We can't rely on Afara to take away the problem. Because when the Hakrava was before the Afara only has the ability to work Mikana Lahaba, not Mikara, and therefore it doesn't make sense that Afara should be a concept that Beis Shammai says works by Hegdish. It says the Gemara, we have to say that Beis Shammai less lu Gzeri Shava. That Beis Shammai does not hold the Gzeri Shava. Ask the Gemara, Zad Dovid Pashas Doral Maiksev. But if Beis Shammai doesn't hold of the Gzeri Shava, what is he going to do with the words of Zad Dover, which are stated by Pashas Doram, which were the basis of the Gzeri Shava that we were learning, if he doesn't hold of the Gzeri Shava? Answers the Gemara, Loimer comes to teach us, the Chacham Matir Vein Bal Matir. The teacher that only has, the Chacham has the right to do Ataras Doram, not the husband, and Baal Mefer, and a husband has the right to do Afara, Vein Chacham Mefer, but the Chacham doesn't have the right to do Afara. Ask the Ran. But according to Beis Hillel, who does learn the Gzei Rishava, so where will he learn the Halacha of Chacham Matir Vein Bal Matir, Baal Mefer Vein Chacham Mefer? So the Ran answers that for Gzeri Shava to be valid, we only need one of the psukim to be superfluous. So yes, the pasuk of Zeh HaDavar by Nedarim is not extra, for it's needed to teach us, even according to Beis Hillel, Chacham Matir and Vein Baal Matir, Baal Mefer Vein Chacham Mefer, but the pasuk of Zeh HaDavar that's said by Shchutei Chutz is superfluous to teach us the Gzeri Shava. Other Rishonim, the Rajbam, the Masechta Baba Basra says that we don't really need a Gzeri Shava. Beis Hillel will say we don't really need a Pasuk to teach us Chacham Matir Vein Baal Matir, Baal Mefer Vein Chacham Mefer. We could learn this from a Svara. Zeh HaDavar, continues the Gemara in trying to understand Beis Shammai's position. Zeh HaDavar Shchutei Chutz L'Maksiv. Again, if Beis Shammai is not learning Gzeri Shava, what will he do with the words Zeh HaDavar by Shchutei Chutz to teach us Loimah Shchita Chayiv VeChayiv Amalika? We know that when a bird is brought on a carbon, when a bird is brought as a carbon, even though normally when we want to eat a bird, we have to shecht it with a proper shchita, with a knife. When it's brought as a carbon, Malika, which is cutting the back of the neck with the fingernail, that's the way the animal is slaughtered. So if somebody brought a bird that's a carbon, shchutei chutz, one would think there, how is he chai for shchutei chutz if he did malika? Teaches us the braisa that you're not chayiv for malika when you did it b'chutz. And why? Rabbi Aaron Kotler explains that since the pasuk that teaches us the din of shchutei chutz uses behema as the model, and by behema the way an animal slaughtered was shchita, is the pasuk teaching us that the only time one is over for shchutei chutz is if he did it with shchita, no other way. how will Beis Hillel, who uses this pasuk for Gzeirah Shava between Nedarim and Shchutei Chutz, know the din that one is not Chayiv or Malika B'chutz? Says the Ran, the Beis Hillel learns it from what it says in a different pasuk in the parash of Shchutei Chutz, which says the Ish Esher Yishchat, Dafka for Shchita, not for Malika. Ask the Gemara, Ella Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai that don't learn this Gzeirah Shava, Lahach Shesh Hajoitos Menolon, from where will he know that three Hajoitos can be Matar and Neder? Answers the Gemara, Nafkulam Bidder of Asi Banosin. And what's going to happen here is Rav Asi Banosin is going to quote a Braisa, which is difficult to understand. And then the Gemara will explain that Braisa, and in explaining the Braises, some of the halachas of Hilchos Nedarim and Hilchos Shchutei Chutz will become, of Hilchos Nedarim will become clear. The Ksiv, V'davim Moishes Me'adei Hashem Abnei Yisrael. The pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas Emma teaches us the halacha, Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us in the name of Hashem the halacha of Yom Tov. But Tanya, Rav Yosef Glila Omer, Me'adim Nemru. The pasuk discusses Yom Tovim. But the Torah doesn't speak about every Shabbos is not mentioned in that parasha. Why is Shabbos called Shabbos Bereishis? Why is a regular Shabbos called Shabbos Bereishis? Because from the beginning, from the creation of the world, we have that the seventh day of the week is Shabbos. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that the halacha is that if somebody is lost in a desert and he loses track of time and he doesn't know which day of the week is Shabbos, so the halacha is he should count 7 days and the seventh day is Shabbos. But that's not what is known as Shabbos Bereishis. Shabbos Bereishis is what is Shabbos that we follow every week. The Sefer Tamim and Hogim says that why is Shabbos referred to Shabbos Bereishis? So he says that this teaches us that at the beginning of the year, a person at the beginning, at the Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Tovim, the Yom Ha'Ra'im, accepts in himself that this year I'm going to do better. This year I'm going to be more careful. But then, human nature is to delay. Teaches us the Torah, Shabbos Bereishis, already on the first Shabbos of the year, you should follow your new resolutions. Benazir Amar, May Adam Nemru, the pasuk speaks about Yom Tovim, v'loy nemer parashas Nedarim imam, and the Torah doesn't speak about Nedarim in that parasha. Says the Gemara, Rav Asi Banosin kashla hamasnisin. Rav Asi Banosin had difficulty understanding this brisa. Oslo Nedar l'kamed Rav Sheshes, so he went to Nedar to find Rav Sheshes to help him understand the brisa. V'loy ashkechei, but he didn't find Rav Sheshes in Nedar. Oslo Basrei l'mechuzah, so he followed Rav Sheshes to mechuzah. Amalei, and he asked him. The Braisa says, "Mayadi Hashem Nemru, v'loy Nemru Shabbos Bereishis Amon." That the pasuk in Parshas Emor speaks about the Yom Tovim and doesn't speak about Shabbos. Says the Gemara, it does say Shabbos. V'oksev Shabbos Amon. The pasuk does mention Shabbos and the Parshas Mayadim and Parshas Emor. V'su and the next statement that was made in this Braisa, that Mayadi Hashem Nemru, v'loy Nemru Parshas Nedarim Imoyim. That the pasuk only speaks about Yom Tovim and not Nedarim. From a Sitrik Siva, the Parshas Pinchas speaks about the Yom Tovim, and the beginning of the next Parsha, Parshas Matos, as we have been learning, does speak about Nedarim. So this price is difficult to comprehend. Amalei, so responded, Hachiktani. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Me'ade Hashem, Tzrich and Kiddush Bezdin, Yom Tovim require Bezdin to say that the new moon is Rosh Chodesh, and we know that the entire Jewish calendar is based on that. Shabbos Bereishis ain't Tzricha Kiddush Bezdin. Shabbos doesn't require Kiddush Bezdin. And there's a machlokes Rishonim how to understand the Gemara. Some Rishonim say Me'adei Hashem Tzricha Kiddush Bezdin means that Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the month, to declare that today is Rosh Chodesh, and by then we'll know, and by that way we'll know which day are Yom Tovim Tzricha Kiddush Bezdin. And the same thing, Shabbos. On Sunday, we would have to declare, according to the Havamin of the Gemara, today is Sunday. 7 days later, will Mitzvah Shem be Shabbos? But other Rishonim suggest that besides Bezdin declaring that today is Rosh Chodesh, and therefore we will know that Yontif is when Yontif comes out. Yontif also requires a specific declaration that Bezin should say that this and this day will be Yontif. If that's Pshat in the Gemara, which is somewhat clearer in the words, because the Gemara says Me'ade Hashem, that the Me'adim, not just the Rosh Chodesh, requires Kiddush Bezdin, then Shabbos, when Shabbos would come, it would be the obligation of Bezdin, according to this Havamina, to declare that today is Shabbos. That's why it says the Gemara that Shabbos Bereishis ain't Tzrich Kiddush Bezdin, Shabbos comes automatically. Me'ade Hashem Tzrich Mumcha. On the other hand, the Pasuk teaches us that the Me'adim require a Mumcha to make Rosh Chodesh. In fact, there's a Machloikus Rishonim, who is qualified, which Bezdin is qualified to declare a Rosh Chodesh. Some Rishonim say it's only the Bezdin in the Lishkas HaGozes, the Bezdin in the Sanhedrin, that sat in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ramban, that's the opinion of the Rambam. The Ramban disagrees. He says that any Bezdin of Mumchim, not specifically that Bezdin, could be Mekadosh HaChodesh. So too, Vein Ba'ash Nedarim Tzrichim Mevdim, I feel Bezdin HaJoytus. But Nedarim don't require that. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that Nedarim don't require a Mumcha for Parashas Nedarim, Rosh HaMatis Ksif? The Parashas of Nedarim were said to the Rosh HaMatis, which does speak to a Mumcha. Amar Chizda, V'tayim Rav Yochan, V'yochan Mumcha. So as we said before, we have here two conflicting Limudim. On one hand, the Torah is teaching us Rosh HaMatis, that it has to be a Mumcha. On the other hand, the Torah is teaching us that Me'adim require Mumcha, not Nedarim, to teach us that when you're using a Bezdin, you don't need Mumcha. So points out the Ran, that here, since the Torah is comparing the Mumcha, who's being Mekadosh HaChodesh, to the Mumcha, who's being a Matir and Neder, and as we just said a moment ago, everybody agrees that the Mumcha, who's Mekadosh HaChodesh, even if you don't hold like the Rambam, you hold like the Ramban, who says that the Yochid, who's Mekadosh HaChodesh, doesn't have to be the Lishkas HaGozes Sanhedrin, but certainly has to be a Samuch. So how could we have said from the Rambam that any Mumcha, and that's the opinion of most Rishonim, has the ability to be Matan Neder? Very difficult question. So the Mefarshim answer, this Limud that connects the dinim of Kiddush HaChodesh and Hataras Adorim follows the opinion of Beis Shammai. According to the opinion of Beis Hillel, we had the limud that we learned on Amud Aleph. So we're not learning it from the Mumcha of Kiddush HaChodesh. And that's why we who follow the opinion of Beis Hillel hold you don't have to have a Mumcha who's a Samach, you just have to have a Mumcha who's a Talmud Chacham. I saw from Rabbeinu Pivarsky, who explains the Machlokes Rishonim, who is qualified to be the Yochid Mumcha. Must it be someone who's Samach, or could be any Talmud Chacham who's proficient in Hilchas Nedarim? He says, we need to understand what role does the Yochid Mumcha play. Is he a substitute for a Bezdin? Or is the Torah telling us that a Yochid Mumcha is qualified to be Matir and Neder? If we're going to say that he takes the place of Bezdin, so certainly he has to be a Samach. Otherwise, he could not be a person who takes the place of Bezdin. But if the way to understand what the Torah is teaching us is that the Torah is giving us two options how to be Matir and Neder, we could either be Matir and Neder through a Bezdin, and then it could even be Shlosh HaJoytis. Or the Torah gives us a totally different option of a Yochid Mumcha, but that Yochid Mumcha is not in the place of a Bezdin. It's a new alternative. And he doesn't have to be a Samach, he just has to be proficient in Hilchas Nedarim. As we have learned, if a husband, a father, hear their daughter, the wife, make a Neder, V'hechlo Shloi B'yoyim Shamay, and they're quiet the entire day of the Neder being articulated, the Neder becomes automatically confirmed. Teaches us the Gemara, Amr Rav Chanina. Says Rav Chanina, Hashoisek Amnas Lameket. Someone heard his daughter, his wife make a nether, and he remained silent, but his purpose was not to confirm the nether. He was just trying to distress her that he's not being made for the nether. The halacha according to Rav Chanina is meifa fil mekan vatzar yom. He has up to 10 days to be made for the nether. And there's a machlokes rishonim how to understand Rav Chanina's din. Most rishonim explain is that since his intention is ultimately to be made for this nether, if he has the intention to ultimately be made for the nether, that is enough that this should not be considered a hakama. The Reim, however, learns that Shoisik Amanas Lameikat is saying the following: I'm quiet, I'm not articulating my afara, but I'm really doing an afara now. I'm not articulating it, I'm not verbalizing it, but the afara is taking place immediately. Ask the Gemara Masav Rava, ask Rava from a braisa that we learned earlier. We learned that an arusa, nidorim, are jointly revoked by a father and a husband. But we also learned that if the husband, under certain circumstances, if the husband is not here, the father gets the share of the husband in being made for the nether. So we said if the husband never was aware of the nether, or he heard of the nether, he heard, he didn't say anything, but he died that day, then the father could take over his share. If the husband heard the nether and was mekayim the nether, or if he heard the nether and he was quiet, but he only died the next day, or meis b'yom shalachrav, so the nether is already a confirmed nether by the next day, the aloch is eina yachal hafer. The father can no longer be made for the nether. My love, isn't this referring to a situation b'shoisik amanas lameikat, that he was, that the husband was quiet, even if he was just quiet with the intention of distressing his wife, but he heard the nether today, remained silent, and only died tomorrow? The Bryce is teaching us that it's too late for the father to be made for the nether, because it's considered a confirmed nether. So ask the Gemara, how could you, Rav Chanina, say that Shoisek Amanas Lameikat is not considered a hakama? Says the Gemara, Loi. The Bryce is referring to a situation of Shoisek Amanas L'Kayim, where the husband was quiet with the intention of being of confirming the nether. But if he was, if his consideration was Lameikat, it would not be considered that the nether is Mekuyim. Says the Gemara, how could you say that the Bryce is referring to a situation of Shoisek Amanas L'Kayim? Yochei Hainu Oshama V'Kayim. The Bryce already says that. Says the Gemara, B'Shoisek Stam. The way to understand the Braisa is that if somebody is quiet without us telling us that he's being quiet on, with the intention to lameka, to distress his wife, we assume that it's considered hakama. But in a situation where he explicitly says that it was a manas lamekat, according to Chanina, it's not going to be considered hakama. Of course, the Rishonim say, if we don't know what the husband's intention was, that means he was quiet on the day he heard the nether, and then he dies the next day, and we were never able to hear from him what his intention was. Was it lemekam? Was it lekayim? Or was it without any intention at all? We have to assume that at the very minimum, it was with no intention at all, and the nether is considered a confirmed nether. The Sefer Nidri's reason asks the following. If we'll have a situation where a husband was quiet the entire Yom Shamay when he heard the nether, then a week, 2, 10 days, as the Gemara said later, the husband comes and says, I was quiet, really only Manas Lameikat. How does the husband have a right to be believed? Isn't this a situation of his Chazak Asura? Once the Yom Shamay passed, the nether, we said, automatically becomes confirmed. How could a nether, which is his Chazak Asura, which is already confirmed to be a nether, be then retroactively revoked, then be able to be revoked? Says the Sefer Nidri's reason. Since the husband does have the ability, the authority to do hafara, that authority that that he has to do hafara gives him the right to also say that he was shoysik amnas lamekat, and that it's not considered a situation of his chazik yisura. Because the husband has the right to be mefer, he also has the right to say that he was shoysik amnas lamekat.